Tonight, Acts chapter 26. Paul, before King Agrippa and the governor, of course, the Lord prophesied at his conversion that this is what was going to take place, that he would be witnessing before kings, and this, of course, is the fulfillment. Acts 26, 22 and 23. I'm calling this help from God, and I feel that need. I definitely feel that need. We're not going to get it done without his help, without his direction, without his anointing. It's not going to happen. This is not man-made. No, there's got to be the divine intervention, and the help from God is what we're seeking. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He didn't lapse, he didn't quit, he didn't stop. He continued on, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That's quite a summary, isn't it, of what the Lord called Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, called him to do. Amen. And thank God he relied upon that help from God. And if Paul did, where does that put me? I desperately need that help. And Paul declaring, we are not sufficient in ourselves. You know, after years of ministry, after several missionary trips, we call them, he said, I'm not sufficient. I've got to have God at work, and I know that's where we are as well. Amen. Thank the Lord for help from God. Let's ask him for that right now.
Oh, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can call upon you and look to you, Lord. God, that we could receive your blessing and your strength. Help us now, Lord God. We need the help that comes from you, the help, Lord God, that you offer, that you render, that you provide. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even when we don't know where we need help, Lord, you're there to minister. Minister now, God, that help, that assistance, that strength, that blessing. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. I remember hearing Brother French speak from this passage, help of God, and how he would relate the Lord stepping in and doing the work. Brother French is the one who started this church, and one of the last churches that he started. I guess he helped start Kenai, but not actually on his own. He helped his son-in-law. So he made mention of how you move into the work of the Lord, and how you've got to be sure you're not overmanned. And I thought, overmanned? And he made mention of how John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas and then turned back, and how that somehow, sometimes there can be the situation where you've got too many. Well, I was pastoring in Hoonah at the time, and I thought, oh, God, I need all I can get. Especially, I need a wife. Praise God. And the Lord answered that in a powerful way. But I look at those circumstances now, and I think, God help us to be able to move in the ways that you would have us to, so that if there's a need or a desire for a church plant, as we call them, or a preaching point and so on, that that we would have a few who would go, not necessarily overmanned, but a few who would go. I listened to Moody Radio quite a bit in years past. I haven't tuned in recently, hardly at all, but they would have these guests. And one of them pastored a megachurch in Ohio,
not one of our churches, but they had 10,000 on their church rolls. And when they did a church plant, 300 went with the pastor. Not bad. Not a bad way to start out, a small little church. But I thought, oh my goodness, that's an amazing way to start out. Because the impact in the community, if they were in a different community, or they were in a big town in Ohio, I can't remember which one, but even if they went to a different neighborhood, the impact would be immediate. And the finances and the resources and the manpower, the skills, the talent, wow, what a way to get started. The Lord help us as we pray for our, we called them home missionaries. I guess we can still call them home missionaries. Pray for them that they would continue to do a work for the Lord and show their community that God is in charge. God's in control. Amen. Help from God. I thank the Lord for that. It's not philosophy. It's not theology. It's reality. I need help from God. Amen. Now, the Greek being obtaining help from God, as Paul is testifying here, to attain or secure an object or an end. That's the Greek for obtain. And I thank God that the Lord allows us to obtain the blessings that he wants to impart, to secure that end. As the Lord is able to make the ending turn out for his glory. Amen. Paul talked about we obtained mercy. Seven times in the King James Version, there's that phrase, obtained mercy. I'm thankful that his mercy is abundant. His grace is abundant. Praise God. And that's who we look for. Hebrews 4 and 16 makes mention of coming boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. There's that obtain mercy, one of the seven times, and find grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful there's mercy and there's grace that we obtain at the throne. The throne is, you know, here recently in England, with the passing of the Queen, there's been a lot of attention on royalty. And that's not very familiar to us. That's not our form of government, even though there are some who want to act like they are. Anyway, I'm thankful that there's the mercy and the grace that God extends to us and the blessing that the Lord has. Praise God. Now, if I were to say the phrase, look both ways, what would immediately pop into your mind? Okay, we're talking about a roadway, you know, safety, and so on. In Philippians 3, Paul is looking both ways. He's looking back, and he's looking ahead. And I think that sometimes that's what we've got to continually do. We look back to where we were when God got a hold of us, and thank God we're not there. We're here. And there's been a lot of changes. There's been a lot of help. There's been a lot of sustenance in obtaining what God has for us. And we look ahead, and the promises are there. Praise God. We don't need to feel like it's going to be just out there with a wing and a prayer, we say sometimes. But to understand that the Lord is going to be there. Paul said, I've not attained, but I follow after. He was making mention of how there was that goal that he had. And then he looks back, forgetting those things which are behind. Then he looks ahead, reaching forth for those things which are before. He's looking both ways. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I thank God that the devil, you know, tries to get us to look back. at mistakes and failures and so on. And I'm thankful we can claim the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, amen, to remove that stain and to move us into the powerful realm of His goodness and His blessing. Praise God. That's what help from God means. Thank God that there is that power and that blessing that comes through a myriad of different ways. Miracles, signs, wonders, healings, provision, blessing, powerful demonstrations, and then a still small voice. Praise God. It can be very precious when we're in turmoil, when things are just upside down. But the Lord is able to speak peace to our hearts, and He is more than qualified. I like Psalm 121 and verse 2 that talks about my help cometh from the Lord. And I'm glad that there's a qualification that goes with that. My help comes from the one who made heaven and earth. He's pretty qualified, isn't he? He's pretty experienced. He knows how to bring about help in your needs, in your situation. Psalm 124 and verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord. And again, there's that recognition of His qualifications, who made heaven and earth. Praise God. Now, Hebrews 4:16 talked about boldness. Look at Hebrews 13 and 6. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Praise God. Boldly make that statement. Boldly make that claim. The Lord is the one who is my helper. And He made heaven and earth, and He can definitely take care of my needs. And I will not fear. I know the verse goes on to say, what man should do unto me. We don't need to be fearful in that regard. But I think we can make the statement unqualified by saying, I will not fear. It doesn't matter who comes against us. It doesn't matter what spirit we may face. It doesn't matter what entity we may be up against. I will not fear. Praise God. Now, that's supernatural help, because our natural tendency, our human tendency, is to be fearful. But when God is our helper, and thank God He steps on the scene and is able to do the work that only He is able to do, I'm thankful that He is there to minister and dispel that fear, and we can be bolstered with boldness. Praise God. When the disciples prayed in Acts 4, they were anointed with boldness. Those two verses in Hebrews 4:16, 13:6, they mentioned the boldness that's there. And the apostles, after the persecution, after being commanded, don't teach and preach in that name anymore, you know, it was pretty strong. It was pretty straightforward, the command that the Sanhedrin brought to them. But they went to prayer. They called upon the Lord. They asked Him, now, Lord, in verse 29, behold their threatenings. You know, they weren't dismissing it. They weren't calling it something just light. No, they recognized those are severe threatenings. And we stand in the possibility of severe punishment. But they prayed, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's what their prayer was. That's what they were seeking. That's what they desired. And immediately the Lord answered that prayer. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost again, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Wow. Thank the Lord. Now that's an immediate answer and a powerful demonstration of what He can do. Praise God. I don't know that I've, as a result of prayer, felt the shaking. We've been in church when we've had earthquakes twice. Lights are swaying. We had a guest speaker that one time, and I said, oh, it's an earthquake. And he got all excited, you know, and He went and sat down because I guess he thought he could feel it better sitting down. But, I haven't had it shaking when I prayed. That would be something. God could do it. Amen. I guess I don't need that demonstration so much as I want to see others have their chains broken like we sang about. And the prisons shaking and deliverance coming, praise God. And the power of the Lord being demonstrated. And the boldness that they then can recognize, they can step out of addiction, step out of problems, step out of difficulties, and move into the presence of the Lord. Oh, yeah. Praise God. We can be bold because of the blessing that the Lord gives to us of His help, divine help. Wow. Incredible. So Paul said, I continue unto this day because of the help that I got from the Lord. Were there opportunities to quit? I'm pretty sure the devil made him, you know, stop and look at times and say, is it worth it? And why am I doing this? And here I'm a long ways away from where I was in Jerusalem, on my way up in terms of Hebrew law and all of that. But he was continuing in the work and the walk that he had in the Lord. And I'm thankful we can go on with the Lord, forgetting, reaching, pressing, just like Paul said, and knowing that the light of the Lord and His life in the Holy Ghost is what I can receive, and speaking the Word of God with boldness, moving forward in faith. Praise God. Praying for His presence, operating in the power of His presence. Amen. That's what God would have us to do. Amen. Keep going, keep growing. I think that's what the Lord would have us to focus on because of the power of His resurrection. Yes. Praise the Lord. The disciples slipped that in a lot. They had faith in the resurrection, and they witnessed of the resurrection. They spoke of it a lot, obviously, because it was fresh in their minds. They just spoke with Him. They just saw Him, and they ate with Him. It was powerful. It's necessary to, again, remind ourselves, I can operate in the power of His resurrection because He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. Praise God. That's the power of the resurrection, and I thank the Lord we're able to move into that realm. It's cheating ourselves to preach a dynamic gospel and live a firecracker life. That's a misnomer. That's where we need to forsake and move into the realm of having the power of God. One preacher talked about hypodermic saints living on little shots of religion. No. We want the power of God. We want the strength of the Lord. We want the blessing of His life. Praise God. To be a tree in the presence of the Lord, not a tombstone that just marks what was. No, the power of God, the blessing of the Lord. Praise God. And the resurrection, a powerful reality. Paul, in this whole chapter, we're looking at how he was called upon to come and speak to King Agrippa and to the governor. And Paul said, I'm happy to speak to you, King. And he, you know, you think of where he was. He's under arrest. The outlook doesn't look too good for him, but the uplook is what Paul had. And I especially like verse 8. Look at verse 8 of Acts 26. Here's the mention of the resurrection. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I think that's such a powerful statement to help the king to recognize you have a lot of power. You can give a death sentence, or you can commute a sentence, or you can bring liberty and freedom to somebody, but you don't have the power to raise the dead. It is incredible. But then he's challenging the king to say, God has the power to raise the dead. And you shouldn't even think that's incredible, because God does incredible, does powerful things. And thank the Lord that the Lord is able to do those incredible things that make incredible changes in us. And we can be a witness of his incredible power. Praise God. What a mighty God. Amen. And the impact of that power in the spiritual realm. You know, those seven sons of Sceva who probably rehearsed what they were going to do with that demonic person. We're going to say this. We're going to do that. And finally, they got the opportunity. Here's a devil-possessed person. And they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Well, the devil had something to say, too. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? It's nothing to play with. We're not talking lightly about this power and this interaction in the spiritual realm. And again, help from God. Oh, Lord, we need that help from you. We are not sufficient in ourselves. But praise God, his power. Is what we can receive. And I thank the Lord that that the Lord can make us known in the spiritual realm, not because of us, but because of him in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. And so witnessing. Paul said, I continue witnessing. His walk with God continued. His prayer, his power with God continued. And then his lifestyle of witnessing. He said, both to small and great. He's talking about the normal individual that he might meet on the street, the philosopher on Mars Hill, or you, King Agrippa. And it didn't matter. Prison guards, philosophers, kings, governors, their wives, the chief captain, and the principal men of the city, that's what's mentioned in Acts 25 and 23, the chief captains and the principal men of the city, he spoke to them all. Praise God. And thank the Lord that he was willing to step forward and do the work of God in an incredible way. And so in chapter 26, he goes into his former life. He makes mention of the things that he did, and how he persecuted the church, how he was against the name of Jesus Christ, and so on. But then he said, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. That's pretty good brightness. Stopped him, knocked him down, made him blind. And then he said, I heard a voice. Praise God. Don't you know every time he witnessed about that, every time he told that testimony, he would relive it. It would be fresh in his mind. He'd see that light. He'd hear that voice. And oh my, that's probably why he shared it, is because he wanted to remember. He wanted to recall the details of it. He wanted it to be fresh in his mind. Praise God. And so he relates it. He tells about the purpose that the Lord made him known. To rise, I'm going to make thee a minister and a witness. Praise God. And he makes mention of what he did then. I came to turn those from darkness to light. Yes. Praise God. And that's what he experienced. From the power of Satan to the power of God. To receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance in the Lord. So there are dynamic changes that he's talking about here. And that's why he continued. That's why he wanted to witness. It's because he saw those things happen. He recognized the power of God at work in people's lives. It wasn't just some nice words, some good things that he had to say. There was dynamic rescue and redemption, revival, and regeneration He recognized it. Praise God. And that's why he continued to understand the blessing and the power of the Lord. Acts 1 and 8 says that you will receive power and you will be a witness, a power witness. Thank the Lord. And I'm thankful that there is the power of the Holy Ghost to help you to be that witness, that anointing that we need, that help from God. Amen. And thank God that there is the blessing that the hand of God can minister. And verse 33, I guess we didn't get there in Acts 4. Acts 4, 33. Great power. The apostles gave witness of the resurrection. There's that focus that they had. They wanted boldness to be able to speak this. They wanted boldness to be able to operate in this realm. And of course, they make mention of the resurrection. Thank the Lord for the power of that resurrection. I've been thinking, what would I say if somebody just mocked my Christian faith as believing in fables and mocked the Word of God as a legend, just a fairy tale? I've been trying to think now, how would I do it? I wouldn't have time to go through any of the books I've read of Zacharias. He's really good at being able to answer some of these intellectuals. I decided I'm just going to agree. You know what? Maybe it is a fairy tale. Maybe it is a legend. Maybe it is a fable. But tell me, what fable do you know? What fairy tale can you mention that produced such powerful conversions that I have seen with my own eyes? What legend will tell you about people being raised from the dead and being healed from dreadful diseases that science knows no cure? Tell me what fable are you familiar with that would do that? I know what this book does. I don't know if that would be effective. I don't know if I'll have the opportunity to try it out. But I like to think of these scenarios. That I'm not going to back down. I'm going to come right out and say, this is what the hand of God can do. This is what the Word of God promises. And this is what I've seen. Have you? Amen. Praise God. Somebody come in drunk and walk out sober. I've seen it. How'd that happen? It's God. It's God. Amen. Oh, my. Well, the Word of God. Paul was committed to that, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say. He was staying with the Word of God. He didn't deviate from that. He preached the word. Hebrews 4 and 12 says it's alive and powerful. That's the word of God. Was that last week that I shared with you the how the word of God is what we base our teaching and our presentation on? I wanted you to teach and preach. Yeah, that was last week, right? So the word of God, we're going to hold to it. That's what we're going to stay with. It's the sword of the Spirit. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Romans 1:16. Thank God that there is that power that we can hold on to and know. So that's why he determined he's going to stay with the Word of God. Now, he's obviously very, very familiar with the Word of God because he studied it diligently. And then when the Lord revealed to him that he's the Messiah, then he could go back through the scriptures and see, wow, never noticed that before, never saw that before, and he would see and understand and be able to present it in the synagogue, in the city street. It didn't matter. He was going to stay with the word of the Lord and exclaim that because it had power to bring about a change. Now, he preached in a culture without Christ. in a society that was ruled by the Roman Iron Fist, and a lot of idolatry, a lot of Greek mythology, a lot of the Roman gods, and all warlike and so on. That's what he operated in. So there wasn't the Christian heritage that we have. And admittedly, it can lead to some confusion, more so than an actual foundation of faith. But we have the opportunity to expound the way of God more perfectly, like Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. Apollos was an amazing young man, just gifted and intelligent and eloquent and mighty in the scriptures. And Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers, kicked out of Rome with all the other Jews and vagabonds, you know, wandering around, working the best they can, being associated with Paul. And they weren't intimidated. They took him aside. They probably complimented him. They probably wanted him to quote scripture to them and so on. And then they began to instruct him about what John said, because he knew the baptism of John. John said, believe on him that was to come after him, which is on Jesus Christ. Amen. And they preached that name. Praise God. And I believe the consistency of the scriptures came forth, and Apollos being baptized, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for the power and the blessing of God to do a work for his name. We're living in a society now that is becoming less and less Christ-like, less and less a culture of Christianity. I read of a survey that was done in Britain, and they talked to 300 people in a 5-year study. And the results were that they reported they were more likely to put their faith in a friend than in Jesus Christ. Now, I guess a little more concrete, a little more virtual, and a little more real. They put their faith in a friend, their family, or themselves, rather than in God. That was their answer. And they weren't looking for answers to ultimate questions. They were living for now, not any eternal realm, not a life after death and so on. And their perspective on religious things were just rare occasions. It wasn't like probably a death or something like that. And they regarded their Christianity a faded inheritance. And it wasn't anything that they relied upon. In order to impact this generation, we need help from God. Amen. And continue unto this day, witnessing to small and great, saying none other things than what the Word of God says. That's how we're going to make it. Amen. And the impact on Agrippa was, you know, you've almost persuaded him. He was sarcastic. You think you can persuade me? You know. And was it Festus that hollered out, much learning hath made you mad, Paul? He said, I'm not mad. I speak forth the truth and of soberness. And soberness, praise God. And so, Paul didn't back up. He didn't. He didn't feel intimidated. He went on, and faced what was there against him. Praise God! And his appeal to Caesar took him to Rome, where he lived for 2 years, teaching and preaching the things of the kingdom of God. And thank the Lord. There's the help that he had, no doubt people coming to see him, to supply his needs and to bolster him and encourage him, and then the converts that he would be able to make with the word of the Lord, because he recognized, I'm a laborer with God. I'm laboring with all of you. I'm laboring with God. He gives the increase. Amen. And thank the Lord, there's that power and that blessing. But 2 Corinthians 3 and 5 must have really become real to him, especially in Rome, where worship of the emperor calling himself God and all of this stuff was going on right in front of him. And he knew, I'm not sufficient, I'm not enough, but God is our sufficiency. Praise God. The one who made heaven and earth, remember? Praise God. That's where our help comes from. Amen. And then at the time, I don't know if it was this time or a time before, probably was a time before, that he prayed those three times for the thorn to be removed from his flesh. And he heard the Lord say, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. And that power and that blessing was there for him to understand there's strength that I can receive from God. And he had to, probably there were times that he wanted to rely on his own wisdom, his own understanding, his own abilities and ingenuity and so on. But he would tell the Corinthians, I'm not coming to you with words of man's wisdom. I'm coming to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I want your faith to stand in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man. He made that very clear. And he understood the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not the things that I can accumulate. Thank God for this building. Thank God for comfortable pews and the technology and all of that that is important for us to be able to proclaim the message. That's not the message. The truth is the message. Praise God. Technology can help us get the truth out. Thank God for all of those watching online. I have faith that there's a lot. Praise God. But the technology can help us proclaim the truth. The technology is not the truth. Thank God for our worship team. Thank God for the anointing that's upon them, the diligence that they have in using their gift for the things of the Lord. But it's not just sound. It's anointing. Anointing that's got to be in place. Praise God. Because that's where we want to be. That's the power that we want to receive. Praise God. And it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What strongholds? Strongholds that are around people's hearts. Strongholds that are around families. And any manner of stronghold that the devil would try to put up. And thank God those things can be pulled down because of the power of the Lord and the strength that he has made. Romans 8 makes mention of intercession three times. The Spirit makes intercession. And then that's mentioned twice. And then farther down in Romans 8, it meant he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Yes. What? The Lord? An intercession? Mm-hmm. Yes. Because it stands as a monument of what the Lord did to provide for us. And thank God we can move into the realm of intercession. And prayer becoming a priority. And what a tremendous resource that is. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul can say that. Peter could make that claim. And you and I can make that claim. Praise God. I'm thankful for help from God. Now, we read the scriptures because of the encouragement and the stories of help that the Lord had given. Impossible situations. Gideon and his 300 torchbearers. Suicide mission. Here I am. Come shoot your arrows at me. You know, it could be interpreted that way. But no, God used it to bring tremendous victory. Jonathan and his armor bearer, let's go up. You know, climbing that hill from the in the first place was difficult. And then the Philistines waiting up there to kill him. Let's go. No restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And if they say this, then we know God has given them to us. And sure enough, that sign was given. And Jonathan and his armor bearers scrambled up there and slaughtered those Philistines. And they began to run. And Saul and his army gave chase. Praise God. David and his mighty men. You know, it makes mention of how there were sons of the giant. And David and his mighty men killed them too. Praise God. Because the Lord desires victory for his people. Daniel and those young men, actually there were, you know, we read about those four, but there were actually thousands that were recruited from Judah, Jerusalem, to go and work in Babylon, in the government of Nebuchadnezzar. They purposed in their hearts, and thank God that purpose came forth in tremendous miracles of deliverance and visions and power of God that was displayed, not just for that one king, Nebuchadnezzar, but three kings witnessed the power of the Lord. And Darius, you know, the Lord called him his servant. My goodness, the power of the Lord that was displayed. Now, let's take a look at Isaiah 41 and 10. I want you to notice the I ams in this verse and the I will included in that verse. The Lord saying, fear thou not. That's a good command, isn't it? I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. There's the I ams that we know are such a powerful statement of who God is and who Jesus declared himself to be as well. When him saying, before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to stone him because they thought he was making an audacious claim, a heresy. They didn't know Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. That's why we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the name above every name. That's the name of salvation. Amen. Thank God for that power. I am. And now notice the I will. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. I am and I will. Praise God. That's now. Amen. We look both ways. He's been there in the past. He's going to be there in the future. But right now, praise God, he comes and brings his help. He comes and brings his blessing. I'm thankful that the help of the Lord is where we are right now. I obtained help of God, and I continue unto this day. Praise God. He was letting them know, I'm not afraid to witness to you. I'm not afraid to speak to you. This day, I've got help from God. You know, and I suppose most people would be intimidated and fearful. Now Paul was being respectful. He wasn't being flippant. He wasn't being a smart aleck. And he definitely was letting them know, I'm going to witness to you. Praise God. And that power of the Lord is there for us as well. Fear and dismay? Nope. Amen. I am, God's with you. I will, that's his promise. Praise God. I'll help you. I'll uphold you. I'll strengthen you. Praise God. And that's the power that the Lord would manifest for us as we look to him, as we call upon him. I'm thankful that he can take the extraordinary situations and make them ordinary. In other words, re-experiencing them again and again, that power of the Lord, not just a special occasion, not just a once in a century, once in a decade type thing, but the power of God being displayed again and again. Praise the Lord. And then he can take the ordinary, you and me. Well, me, anyway, you consider yourself extraordinary. That's good. Ordinary. Just a kid from Hoonah. Unknown. And on his way to a life of alcohol. But God can take the ordinary and do the extraordinary. Praise God. Oh my, what a great God. Hallelujah. What a great God. I'm thankful that's who we put our trust in. I'm thankful that's who we receive help from. I'm thankful that's who we can call upon for help. Amen. And look to him for those needs and those blessings and that strength from the Lord. God is so good. Amen. Now, that's not to... how can I say this? That's not to diminish the power of the devil. We understand. If you've ever done battle with him, you know he's not a wimp. He's not a pushover. He's not a scaredy cat. He'll flat do battle with you. But I don't need to step back. I don't need to be terrified. In fact, the Bible says, in nothing terrified of your adversaries. You know what part I'm talking about in Philippians? It's there. Find it for me, Brother Mike. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. You have adversaries. Amen. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But praise God, help from God raises me up, brings me into his power and his presence. Philippians 1:8. Read it for us, please. I'm sorry? 28. Here we go. Got it. Go. All right. So in other words, you don't have to be terrified by your adversary, because that reminds them that they're already defeated, that they're already going to be in the lake of fire, that's exactly what their destination is. But your destination, praise God, and you have help from God. You have salvation. You're going to be moving into an eternal realm of blessing and glory. Because you have help from God. Amen. And thank the Lord for that power and that blessing. So I'm not trying to elevate the devil and his power. No. Don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to show you that no matter what you face, you're going to rise above it. You're going to defeat it. You're going to be victorious. You're going to be an overcomer. Because you wait on help from God. Praise God. You keep your nose in this book. Hallelujah. You keep your eyes on heaven. You keep calling upon the Lord. And there's victory. Victory in the Lord. And I thank God that that's the power that we're able to rely upon. No matter what. And certainly in the aspects of witnessing, God wants you to step forth with boldness. Amen. And we pray that prayer like they did in Acts 4. The Lord delights in answering that prayer. You saw how immediately it came about. They spoke the word of God with boldness, and with great power gave they witness of the resurrection. You witness that in your lives. You show that in the power of God keeping you in a holy lifestyle. and a walk of obedience and a desire for the things of the Lord. Praise God. And that demonstrates the consistency of God's deliverance, of God's power. Amen. There, you know, we stumble, we struggle, but thank the Lord. He's there to lift us up, and he's there to strengthen us. Walking beside those still waters, leading us in green pastures. The shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, I'm thankful he's my shepherd. Let's stand and worship him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your great name. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes. Praise God. Oh, my. Thank God for the help that he gives us. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Glory to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, my Savior, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You know, John on the Isle of Patmos, all the worst criminals of the empire there, imprisoned there working in the salt mine. It wasn't a resort in the Mediterranean. It was horrible. It was awful. It was corrupt. The language he heard was not gospel. It was filthy. But what did John see? He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. And oh, what a description he gave. And he fell. He fell. It was so overwhelming. Not overwhelmed by what was around him and what he was experiencing, but the presence of the Lord so powerful that he fell at his feet. But the Lord didn't leave him there. The Lord reached out and touched him and raised him up. You know, I think that's how he was able to write all 22 chapters. I think that's how he was able to continue through those situations and swinging that pick and lifting that shovel and all of the things that he had to do. But, oh, the revelations that were there. And back to the barracks or the hovel or wherever he was, and he'd start to write it down. Praise God. The 24 elders worshiped him day and night. Praise God. You talk about help from God. That's what God can do. In your circumstances, that's what God can do. Praise God. Oh, let's love him again. Hallelujah. Ningela da robo so con dalla la mascia chi se hetela da bondà.